birthday. All right, let's see. We got the screen coming up here. Here we go. All right, I'll be a friend of Jesus. I want to talk to you tonight about being friends with Jesus and what it means to be a friend. I've got lots of friends in my life. I've been really blessed to have lots of great people around me. Hopefully I've been that good friend to them like they've been to me. And you know how it is when you have a really good friend, someone you can confide in, someone that gives you good advice, someone that will tell you the truth when others really don't want to because they have your best interests in mind. There are other friends that we have that are always there when we need them. They always see what we need, and they're always ready to assist us in any way. In this past month, I've had people that are my friends that have called on me for some assistance. I got a text one day because the lady, her daughter's tire had gone flat, and she knew that I had one of these portable compressors with me. And so she texted me. I said, sure, come on and get this. That's a part of friendship as we go through. There are friends that are listed throughout the books and other means that we have. For example, I was just thinking this afternoon about how friendship comes all throughout our entertainment. We see things about friends. My wife has been very good to me in our 32 years of marriage, and from time to time there would be a movie that would come out that she wouldn't be interested in, but I would. So she went to go see this Star Trek movie with me. And at the end of this movie, Spock dies, all right? I'm not spoiling the movie. I mean, you know how this is. You know, Spock, he was the one that greeted people like this, had his fingers apart. And at the very end, when he was dying in that, you know, through the wall, he put his hand up, and Kirk put his hand up, and Spock said, I have always been and always shall be your friend, showing that friendship. Well, the thing about that, now, Carla went with me to the next movie, which was the, when Spock came back to life. She fell asleep during the movie, and she never did find out how Spock came to life, and she won't let me tell her today. She still doesn't know how he came. But she's a good friend to me because she supported me in that case. What about being a friend of Jesus? What does it take, really, to be a friend of Jesus, and how can we be a real, true friend of Jesus today? Look at John chapter 15, and we're going to read not only verse 14, but we're also going to look at verses 9 through 14, and look at these things that are involved. We've got love and joy, obedience, sacrifice, and friendship are all listed in this passage. So let's begin reading the words of Jesus here in verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So here in this passage, we have all of these things there. Love, joy, obedience, sacrifice, and friendship. But the real gist of this is when Jesus is saying there's no greater love than one person can show to another than to lay down their life for them. A sacrificial love, to be sure, but really a love that is genuine and deep, and also the ultimate sign of your concern for that other person's safety. That's what Jesus did for us. He laid down his life for us so that he might take it up again. But he died for us in our place. That becomes the greatest sign of love that anyone could do for someone else. And then he turns it and he says, now you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. The conditions of friendship with Jesus. We could sing the song like we did just a few moments ago with Todd, I'll be a friend to Jesus. And what does it really mean when we're going to be a friend? Are we really friends to Jesus? Do we have that type of deep and abiding love? And how do we demonstrate that love towards Jesus? One of the things that we can do is show our love to him as we show our love to one another. Back up in this again, and he says that we ought to love one another, and that's a sign of our love with Jesus. Well, let's look at this song just for a moment. This song, I'll Be a Friend of Jesus, was written by Johnson Oatman Jr. Now, he's written some other songs that you'd be familiar with, such as Count Your Blessings and Know Not One and Higher Ground. And Oatman here, he was a great guy. He wrote about 5,000 songs. Now, he aspired to be a speaker. That didn't work out. Then he aspired to be a song leader of sorts, and that didn't work out. But his real talent was in writing these songs. And we're glad that he wrote them because they're great. So what we're going to do tonight, from time to time, I'll take a song, and we'll just digest each verse as we go through and apply that to our lives. So this first verse now coming up shows us that friendship is needed. That verse comes up. They tried my Lord and Master with no one to defend. Within the halls of Pilate, he stood without a friend. Now, you know, after Jesus was being taken, all right, Judas betrays him there in the garden. The whole contingent of people are around him. And so they come and they grab him and take him up. And the whole night he's been there. He's been through that trial. He's been scourged. There's no one there to defend him. There's no one there taking his case up. So within the halls of Pilate, he stood without a friend. Have you ever been someplace where you felt like all of your friends had failed you? They were all gone. Nobody stood with you. Maybe it was in the middle school cafeteria. One of those awkward years of your life where you didn't quite know where you fit in. And maybe you thought you had a friend, but then they abandoned you. And all of a sudden you were there without anyone there. Well, that's awkward, but that's not the end of the world. You think it is when you're 13, but that's not the end of the world. What about, though, when it's a deeper, more serious situation? Maybe when you really need to lean on a friend in confidence, or you need some great advice from someone, or someone is going to help you through a difficult situation with your finances or a relationship, and they simply don't show up to do those things. What do we do when we feel alone? Well, Jesus was not only alone, but he was betrayed. How would you feel if one of your handpicked disciples, who had been with you for over 3 years, suddenly turned and for the cost of just a little bag of silver, goes out and turns you in and betrays you with a kiss? Well, Judas betrayed him, but also Peter denied him. You remember that situation, don't you, where Peter is there, and three times he denies that he ever knows Jesus Christ. How do we show our friendship to Jesus? A friendship is needed, and that's what Jesus wants with us. Where are the friends when Jesus is being tried? Well, he doesn't have any around. Of course, God the Father is still there with him. But Jesus is taking all of this on with himself, and no one is there to help to defend him in his case. Let's go on to the second verse, where we see that friendship is sometimes difficult. All right, friendship is difficult. The world may turn against him. I'll love him to the end. And while on earth I'm living, my Lord shall have a friend. And here's a statement of confidence in our friendship with him. As long as I'm living, my friend here is going to have a friend in me. My Lord is going to have a friend in me. I'm going to be a friend of Jesus as long as I am living. Well, you know, Peter earlier, he had said to the Lord, even if I have to die with you, I will not. I'm not going to deny you. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to abandon you in any way. So he made a good statement as well, but he wasn't able to hold to that. Let's take a look at Matthew 26. This fan just bit me here. Matthew 26, I'll have to move over here and get used to this a little bit. Matthew 26, 31 through 35. I didn't expect it to do that. All right. Matthew 26, verses 31 through 35. Then Jesus said to him, talking to Peter now, and the others, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go on before you to Galilee. But Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. We sometimes focus just on Peter saying that, but the other disciples said the same thing. Even if we have to die with you, we're not going to deny you. But what happened when Jesus was taken? They all scattered and went other places. Peter, though, he stayed back and he was trying to watch and see what's going on. And as he gets closer to those proceedings, those others started coming saying, now you were with him, right? You're one of them. And over for three times, he denies that he even knows Jesus. The very thing he said he would not do, he turns around and he does. Well, let's look over to Luke chapter 22. And in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, we see here how this is playing out. Jesus saying now about Peter and his denial, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, you will strengthen your brethren. Now, here's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is looking beyond this momentary lapse where Peter is not going to be able to be the friend that he says he's going to be. He's looking beyond that failure, and he's looking into Peter to say, Peter, I have prayed for you. Peter, you're going to go through this. Peter, you're going to fail me, but you're going to come back to me, and you're going to be stronger than ever. Friendship is difficult. It really is. I remember years ago in high school, I had a really good friend, and she went through a difficult time, and I wasn't really, you know, kind of caught up on all the things that were going around. And one day she came in and she announced to me and a couple others there, she said, I'm going to go away for a while. And I didn't realize at the moment exactly what she was saying, but she had gotten involved with somebody in a relationship and she'd become pregnant. So she was going to go off for a while. You know, that doesn't always happen now, but she was going to go off and come back later after that birth. Well, I was very disappointed in her as a person and as a friend. We were very close, and I just didn't understand why she would do that. And later in the day, I felt so bad about the way that I reacted to that news that I went back to her, and we talked some more, and I apologized because I wasn't being the friend that I should have been to her. She was coming to me, and she was confiding in me, telling me something that was very embarrassing for her, but she had come to terms with it. She had asked for God's forgiveness. She was going to do the right thing, but still, this was something where I, as a friend, should have responded in a more positive, encouraging way, and I didn't. Friendship is difficult. There are times that our friends will disappoint us personally. And it's not that they set out to do it, but none of us is perfect. So friendship with Jesus is no different. There are times that we know we're going to disappoint him. Yet, over and over, just like he is with Peter, Jesus, our Lord, is able to look at us and say, I know that you're going to disappoint me. I know that you're going to fail me. I know that there will be days that you take my name in vain. I know that there will be days that you deny even knowing me because of the temptations and the trials of this life. But through all of that, I know also that I'm on your side. And I'm praying for you and hoping for you to come through these trials and be even stronger. Friendship is not only needed, but it is difficult. And the third verse then tells us that friendship is to be demonstrated. I'll do what he may bid me. I'll go where he may send. I'll try each flying moment to prove that I'm his friend. How do you prove your friendship to someone? How do you prove your friendship to someone? Well, we might have some peer pressure on us from time to time. Somebody says, well, if you really love me, you'll do X, Y, or Z as a test of that friendship. Well, what about with God and God's people? Abraham's a great example of this. There's some examples here. Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to go through these very quickly, but we're going to look at each one. Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5, talking about the life of Abraham and what he goes through in order to show that he is a friend and a follower of God. And I wonder how many of us would have the faith of Abraham to do these types of things as we're being challenged. Genesis chapter 12, now verse 1 to begin. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Now, what he's telling Abraham to do here, he's called Abram now because he's not had the name change yet. He's saying, I want you to uproot everything that you have from everyone that you know, and I want you to come to a place, and I'll tell you where it is later. Now he says in verse 2, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now, we look at that. We look at Abraham taking his family and going. We say, well, that's Abraham. How many of us would be up to the challenge, though, of doing something that really is required of us to show our faithfulness to God, to stand up to say, I'm a Christian? A few weeks ago, after the Supreme Court came out with their rulings on homosexuality and same-sex marriage, I was due to preach there at Creve Hall, and so I preached a sermon. I'd already planned this sermon on I am a Christian. And maybe I'll preach it here in the next few weeks. But it was just a basic sermon about talking about I am a child of God. I am a part of this family, the family of God. I am a Christian, and it doesn't matter in which country I live. It doesn't matter where I travel. I'm still going to wear the name of Christ. I'm still going to be a Christian. But there are times when our friendship needs to be demonstrated, our friendship with God. Abraham is doing this by following through and doing the things that God says for him to do. In chapter 22, there's a passage. Let's skip on over to James chapter 2 now. Our time's going to get away from us. James chapter 2 tells us about some of this as well. Remember, I told you, my Bible is new. It doesn't know where to go yet. My old Bible was just so great, it always knew I could think, and it would just fall open to that page and made everything so easy, and now I'm having to struggle a little bit. But here we are, James chapter 2, we are in verses 21 through 26. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? And do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by faith works was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, you can read through the Bible. You're not going to find that phrase again being demonstrated by a person to be the friend of God. It's Abraham. Abraham was the friend of God. Would you like to be known as the friend of God? How is that demonstrated, that friendship demonstrated? By obedience. What did Jesus say in John chapter 15? If you want to be my friends, do what? Keep my commandments. To be obedient to these things, verse 24 now. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, Rahab the harlot was also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For the body without the spirit is dead. Also, faith without works is dead also. In these passages, we're beginning to see that our faith and faithfulness, our obedience to God, is what keeps us showing and demonstrating our faith to him. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter, verses 8 through 10. Let's look at that. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. We just read that a few moments ago in Genesis chapter 12. He went out. He was faithful. Didn't know where he was going, but he trusted God. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreigner in a country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now let's look over to verse 17. Pardon me. When we think about what Abraham was doing, you remember Abraham with Isaac, and what a test that was. I don't know if we were put in that same situation, what we would do. But we know what Abraham did. And the writer of Hebrews here tells us something more about the background of this. Let's look at this in verse 17 to begin. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. The whole promise given to Abraham about father of many nations, and his name being great, all of this is to be fulfilled by this one young lad, Isaac. We don't know exactly how old he was, but he very well could have been a young teenager. He helped his father come up the mountain and carry the wood and do all these things. And now Abraham had bound him hand and foot, laid him on the altar, was ready to sacrifice him, had the dagger back, ready to kill his own son, when his hand was halted and when God intervened. The test, the demonstration of his friendship with God was being ultimately tested then. Notice what verse 19 says, though. That Abraham concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he had also received him in a figurative sense. Now, Abraham was an old man when he conceived, and they had Isaac as a child. Sarah was old as well. And so that was the dead part there in a figurative sense. But he concluded that the God that I serve is able to raise my son up and still keep his promises, even if I slaughter him here on the altar. That's a deep faith. But that also is a deep and abiding demonstration of friendship. Abraham was the friend of God. He demonstrated it in that way. Now let's look at verse 4. Friendship is shared. I love sharing with friends. I really do. I've enjoyed social media the past several years, and many of you have already friended me on Facebook, and I appreciate that so much. And so we've been able to discuss things back and forth. And today being my wife's birthday, I put a picture of her up on Facebook and said happy. She's not on Facebook herself. And we've had, you know, dozens and dozens of people give her well wishes. It's just wonderful to have that connection with people. But that level of friendship really, although we might be really close friends, several of us, the majority of friends that we have on social media aren't really the close friends, but we're friends in that electronic sense. But friendship needs to be shared. We need to share Jesus with others. Look at this verse. To all who need a Savior, and that would be everyone in the world. Everyone in the world needs a Savior. My friend, I'll recommend, because he brought salvation, is why I am his friend. The ultimate sacrifice that Jesus gave for us was to lay down his life as a payment for our sins. That's what Jesus did. He was giving us the ultimate price of friendship. Because he's brought salvation to us is why I'm going to be his friend. The Great Commission over Matthew chapter 28 tells us about this, as Jesus says that we ought to go out and tell everyone about the gospel, teaching others and converting them, teaching them all these things that they need to be learning. How can I be his friend and not share that information? A few weeks ago, I was sharing a lesson with a different audience, and we were talking about evangelism, how we go out and how we talk to people, and how sometimes we just don't feel comfortable saying, well, you need to come to church with me, or would you like to have a Bible study? Because a lot of people have barriers that are built up. And so when we start that, sometimes people feel real skittish about it. But when we know that we want to share this friendship, we're not going to let that stop us. We're going to find some ways to reach into the lives of others. And let me tell you, you don't have to come right out with your Bible and hold it right up close to your heart and say, would you like to study the Bible with me, to everybody that you see? As a matter of fact, sometimes that can be a detrimental position to take initially, but the way that we live our lives can demonstrate so much about our commitment to Jesus. Remember what he said? You are my friends also if you do whatever I command you. You show me a person that leaves church on Sunday, still dressed in his Sunday best, and I'll show you someone who went to worship God. But you show me a person that on Monday morning and Friday afternoon lives what's in the Bible, and I'll show you a follower of Jesus. Just because people dress up on Sunday doesn't mean that they're really a follower and a friend of Jesus. I'm not trying to judge them. I'm just trying to tell you that our lives and the consistency in which we live our lives for Jesus says much about us. If you want to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, begin by living the life that Jesus wants you to live. Be consistent in your life. Don't take his name in vain. Don't lie to others. Don't try to cheat or to defraud anyone. Be nice. Be the person that is uplifting and building up of others to edify them instead of the one that's tearing them down. Look for the good in others. Don't be offended by others. Be ready to forgive. On and on we could go down through all this list. But friendship is to be shared with others. How can we be his friend and not share it? Several years ago, there was an elder in the church where I worked, and he had lost a very good friend. And they had been golfing buddies for some 20 years. And this Wednesday night, he was giving a devotional. This elder stood, and he was crying. And he said, I went to my friend's funeral today, and it dawned on me that in 20 years, I've played golf with his friend, and I never once mentioned church, the Bible, or salvation to him. And it was starting to come home to him that through all that time, he was a real good friend with his golfing buddy, but he had never been the type of friend that he should have been as a friend to Jesus. When I'm a friend of Jesus and I realize what Jesus has done for me, I want other people to know that. When I can suffer the loss of a loved one and people at work or people in my community can look at me and say, how can he take that with such calmness? How can he go through this process and know with assurance that there's a better place for that person to be? The way that we live our life draws others to Jesus. And our consistency with that can help us to share that friendship. Well, let's go on to the refrain then for this song, and that would be that friendship is forever. Friendship is forever. I love this aspect of getting to know more and more friends. We've moved a few times, and as we've done so, we've always said goodbye to a lot of wonderful and great friends. We never lose those friends. They're always still our friends. We're just not with them each week. But each time that we begin, as we did today, as Carl and I were both coming through this auditorium this morning, there were new friendships that were beginning. There were names that we were sharing. Megan and Michelle and JT and Bobby and Buddy and Ronnie and on, all these names start to come up. And before long, we don't need the name tags because we're going to know each other, because our friendship is going to solidify. It's going to strengthen. It's going to deepen because of our common love for Jesus Christ. I love the part about the fact that we as the family of God are always going to be family. Our biological family eventually may move off or they may die. We may find ourselves one day to say, I'm the last one in my family that's still alive. But if you're a child of God, you're never without family, because God's family is a forever family, always around us. Look at this refrain. I'll be a friend of Jesus. My life for him I'll spend. I'll be a friend of Jesus until my years shall end. I don't know how many years any of us has to live on this earth. But I can tell you this, however many years I have, I want to be known as a Christian. I want to be known as someone who's going to serve Jesus. Will persecutions arise? Certainly they will. For preachers and elders in the next few years in our country, we're going to be faced with some challenges. We don't have to go looking for them, Ronnie. They're going to come to us, I think. There'll be a time that I'll stand in this pulpit and I'll read from Leviticus and I'll read from Matthew and I'll read from some other passages about sexual fidelity and faithfulness to a partner of the opposite sex in a marriage that God sanctions. And I'll be saying something that will be guilty of breaking the law in our country. It will be called hate speech or something. There will be persecutions that will arise, maybe not because of that, but because of something else. You know, here in the Shoals area, you guys are, we're blessed to have so many wonderful Christians around us, so many churches. The gospel's been here for a long, long time. Lots of notable people have come through with the same gospel message, and hundreds and thousands of people have obeyed this, have become friends of God and Jesus, have become followers of him, and they've spread that gospel message with others. This friendship is forever that we have with one another. The kinship and the bonds that we have as we go throughout our community, we find out that we're related through Jesus, and that helps us to stave off the problems that come with persecution. John writes in the Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 that if we're faithful unto death, there's going to be a crown of life that we're going to receive. Now, I'm not in a hurry to get to heaven. I don't want anybody to think that I am. But whenever that time comes, I'm ready. There'll always be things I wish I would have said to somebody else or written down or something else that I would have included with a conversation with someone. And I'm always trying to do my very best to leave everything in the best possible condition with every person I know. But I want to tell you this. My friendship with Jesus is a friendship that has wonderful, wonderful benefits. Jesus is a friend who never disappoints. He's always there for us. We saw in the life of Joseph this morning that just because God doesn't answer your prayers right away doesn't mean that God isn't in your life and answering your prayers. For two whole years he stayed in prison after the butler forgot him. But still, all the things that were meant for evil, God meant for good in his life. I want to ask you this evening about being a friend to Jesus. Here's a proverb from Proverbs 18, verse 24, the last part of it. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I want to be the type of friend that's always going to stick close to Jesus, to listen to the Lord's will from the Bible, to be able to pray consistently and constantly, keeping communications always open. You know, that's one of the things that sometimes we don't do, is when the difficult times come, we stop praying. We need to pray even more. We need to gather our friends around us. And when they say, is there anything I can do? You pull them down to your knees with you and you say, yes, you pray with me. Let's pray to God right now. Or worship with purpose and sincerity. I've really been more than pleased and really just uplifted by the worship that we have here, by the wonderful prayers that are being said, by the sincerity and the approach that was taken with the Lord's Supper this morning, by the songs that we sing. We need to worship with purpose and sincerity. We need to build up God's people around us, and also we need to be a friend to Jesus. I hope that you're prepared to be a friend of Jesus in every single way. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. How can we not be a friend to the one who died in our place? If there was ever a time that we would owe somebody something, I think it would be if they saved our lives. If someone came into your life and they were able to push you out of the way of a speeding truck or something, they saved your life, that would be one thing. You'd always want to thank that person. What if you needed a kidney, though, and somebody came and said, I'll give you a kidney so that you can live? That's an even more special way that somebody could help save your life. But what if somebody came and they put their arm around you and they said, friend, there are things in your life that God doesn't like, and I want to tell you about a better way to live. You think you're living the good life now, but you're missing out on all the good that God has for you. I want to tell you something. That person that introduced you to Jesus Christ and the gospel message is an even greater friend than the person that will give you an organ, because they are looking for you to live eternally, where the person who gives you that organ only is concerned with you living physically. I want you to live eternally as a friend to Jesus. Todd has a song of encouragement that's been selected for tonight. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, either by way of a Christian wanting to be reconciled to God through prayer, or someone tonight wants to say, I want to state publicly that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to turn my life around to repent, and I want the blood of Jesus Christ to wash my sins away. Whatever your need is, come now while we stand and sing.